All right, Rosenballs, trade deadline, NBA betting, it's all happening. February 9th is the deadline? About 2 weeks away. What is going on? A lot of quiet before the storm, maybe? Well, what's different about this time around, which is interesting, is I think a lot of teams for both sides are afraid of the bidding wars. They don't want to hang around with their hands in their pockets, right? And have all of these stars who they were trying to deal left over, right? So, first of all, right off the bat, like, good job by Toronto. I think Masai's mentality, Masai's mentality was, look, I'm not going to do a whole crazy thing. This is the price for my stars. And he unloaded them. So kudos to him. He learned his lesson from prior deadlines where he wasn't unable to unload Fred Van Fleet. I think he wanted to unload Gary Trent Jr. in the past. And this time, he was successful. So he got the job done, got rid of, you know, his two high-priced talents, didn't get rid of them for nothing, got a great package for both. Side does well there. Those other teams that got those players did well, too, at the end in New York. Obviously, we shall see what happens for the remaining of the year. What about the other guys? What about Zach LaVine and DeJounte Murray? Look, I would worry if I were those teams. They both clearly have to unload both guys. And right now, it looks like there's one team and only one team only that is interested in either one, and that's the Lakers. Now, the Lakers always have the time clock, but if you look at last year, the Lakers didn't go for broke, basically, with Kyrie and potentially other guys that were available. And they played it cool. They were like, all right, we're not going to deal both picks, and did a smaller deal, which led them to a conference finals run, the deal they did with the Jazz to get, you know, Vanderbilt. You got Russell back in that deal. So, you know, Rob Pelinka has shown restraint, okay? So the Bulls shouldn't feel like, oh, we're going to hold this guy, you know, over the edge. And to be honest, like, I get the value is low for either Murray or LaVine. The word is out, obviously, that both teams want to unload. But you got to think, like, it's kind of risky because, you know, A, do the values get worse? And B, like, you know, one of the hands were two in the bush, right? So if the Lakers have a package out there, if I'm either one, if I could get an expiring and a first, I might be just be like, all right, look, I don't, let's just unload this guy. Like, Atlanta needs to learn a lesson from John Collins, where he kept on being on the block 3-4 years in a row. They could have had Marcus Smart for him. You can say what you want from him, but he's still a valuable talent. And it seemed like every step of the way there was a package for him, and they held it. And then, you know, after a couple of years, the guy's got tremendously negative value, and they unload him, and they have to remove an asset in order to do so for him to go to Utah. So that same thing could easily happen with DeJounte Murray. He's, you know, some may argue even right now he's a negative, and same thing with LaVine. Okay? And, like, GMs aren't stupid anymore. They like, you're not going to play up these guys. It's more they might act of desperation where, like, you know, similar in football, it's like third and long. Do I go for the Hail Mary or not, right? So the Lakers are not at that stage yet, I don't think. But they're flirting with it. So if you're Chicago or Atlanta, and they're offering probably similar packages for both. Now, if I'm the Lakers, to me, LaVine is clearly a better fit than DeJounte Murray. I mean, we saw the experiment with Russell Westbrook. I get it, not the same player, but they both need the ball in their hands. Both primarily a handler. LaVine can handle too, but he's clearly an off guard, right? So that's huge. Now, for the Lakers, the hesitancy around LaVine is the development of Austin Reeves. Austin Reeves might not even have to be included in the deal, which is great. Having said that, he clearly would have his minutes lost, usage lost, and the development of him would be a little worse, right? So that's the quandary for the Lakers. But you have to figure out, if you're the Lakers, like, if we're putting together a team that needs to make a run for a title here, obviously to wear out LeBron and AD's window while they're both healthy, forget their prime, they're both healthy, what lineup is the best lineup to do that. And it might not include Reeves as the opposite guard. Like, obviously, like, so maybe it's, you know, obviously you want to probably replace Russell with a better, you know, 1A point guard. But, guys, Damian Lillard is not available, right? Kyrie Irving right now does not seem available. So, like, that's not going to happen, all right? The other thing you could do if you're the Lakers maybe is the reason why they're interested in Murray clearly is, can LaVine play a little point? And you still have Reeves. Could a LaVine-Reeves backcourt work? Defensively, that sounds like a nightmare. So these are the issues. And then you go like, okay, then Murray. Well, is Murray really that good defensively? I don't know. So it's not a slam dunk. Even though LaVine, I think, is a better fit than Murray for the Lakers, obviously because he could shoot off ball, it's not. It's nowhere near a slam dunk. Nowhere near a slam dunk for the Lakers, which is why they're not just throwing, you know, two firsts, Reeves and Russell, which is the package that either Atlanta or Chicago would sign up for immediately. Now, if I were either Atlanta or Chicago, I'm finagling my deal to include just enough minor assets where I could get that package back. But I don't think the Lakers will budge. I think the Lakers really want to keep Reeves. If I'm Atlanta or Chicago, I let them do so, and I unload my Albatross contract at this stage and just move on. Like, there's no other value, right? Like, Atlanta, what Atlanta could do that was clever, in my opinion, is if they included Bogdanovich in their trade with Murray, right? And then you get some more expirings back, and then maybe you also get Reeves back. That would be interesting, because now if I'm the Lakers, I'm like, all right, I'm getting some shooting back, and I'm getting Murray. I feel pretty good about that. That like, theoretical backcourt. Look, if I'm the Hawks, I like Bogdanovich. He's barely healthy, and he's, you know, the wrong side of 30. He's like 31, 32. So he's not that young anymore. He's never healthy. I need to get rid of Murray. I need defenders there. If I get Reeves back, Bogdanovich's minutes would, in theory, get cut anyway. And that's what I do if I land. I package both. I'll take back expirings, but I need Reeves, maybe Russell plus expirings there. And listen, Russell might get bought out. It's basically Reeves two firsts and just a dump load of expirings. Now I clear cap, I regroup in the offseason, and I shore up my bench. Okay, that's what you're supposed to do with free agency, by the way. You shore up your bench. You don't necessarily shore up your starters. And if you're Atlanta, post-deal, you have Capella, Johnson, Hunter, Reeves, Young, with free agency money. It starts having a better semblance. It starts feeling a lot better. That's what I do if I'm Atlanta. Now, if I'm Chicago, do I have that like secondary asset I'm willing to give with LaVine? I don't know how interested the Lakers are in AO. And if I'm Chicago, like, if I'm not moving Caruso, that would be insane. That's way too much. You know, Patrick Williams. Am I going to sign Patrick Williams? If I don't feel like I'm going to extend Patrick Williams for a hefty sum, but that's a lot. That's a lot. If I'm doing LaVine and Patrick Williams, it's a lot. And is that enough for Reeves to first basically expire? Right. Get Russell back. He's expiring. So if I'm Chicago, I don't know. Chicago has other things to think about, right? DeRozan's a pending free agent as well. Look, in the end of the day, the Bulls have had to rebuild for like 5 years now. They will look like idiots if they do, because their GM just did that deal with Orlando a couple years back. So, you know, I don't know. But they've unlocked something with their backcourt. Coby White looks really good. I probably do keep Patrick Williams. He hasn't looked great with extra usage, which is a concern. Like, the hope was, could this guy be a Mikal Bridges light? No. Answer is no. All right. But yeah, I probably do. If I'm not going to sign DeRozan, like, what am I doing here? You know, DeRozan's also in his mid-30s. So, you know, at some point I don't think you necessarily have to rebuild. You can revamp. So they could move DeRozan as well. Maybe deal with Philly. You know, who knows? So that's the issue right now with those two towns. And now there's some other teams that are, like, kind of in the mix, particularly out west, okay? So now, and we talked a lot about Atlanta, Chicago. Let's talk about these teams out west. So the Western Conference right now is completely up for grabs. I mean, not completely, but you have a clear-cut favorite in Denver. And then you have some teams that I think other franchises will look at, and they'll be like, okay, in a tight playoff series, if we have a veteran team, maybe we could beat them. So, you know, Denver, I think, is the team to beat, but, like, don't watch out for Minnesota, okay? And then OKC. I think that's your sort of top three in the West. And the outside looking in, I would say, are the Suns and then actually the Lakers in terms of title contention potential. But those five, of course, the Clippers. So I would say Denver, Clippers, Minnesota, OKC is probably your top four. Phoenix, LA, even though the record doesn't say it, you don't want to play them in a playoff series. And that's your top six. So, first of all, if you're in that six, is there anything you can do to make a run? It doesn't look like it, right? So, you know, if you're OKC, you could do something relatively aggressive. You can move one of your youth, you know, Giddy's value is low now given the old underage crap around him. You're not going to be able to move him, right? That would have been the guy had no PR big come out. That would have been the guy. You look at someone like, you know, Lauri Markkanen maybe, who's another guy's available, but Ainge isn't gonna do anything aggressive. And look, he still might have value. So that is something to look at. But I think if you're OKC, you want to see how these guys look, you know, in a playoff series. And if you're Minnesota, look, Connolly, the problem with Minnesota that I have right now is just can they maintain this roster long term? They have, you know, a lot of guys making a lot of money and a lot of guys who are going to be pending massive extensions. Just go, dude. So, you know, who are all those guys? Well, Connolly's a pending free agent. Kyle Anderson is going to be a pending free agent. They're going to get paid. That's what happens when you build a good team. Now, they've got in, like, this great rotation. This top eight looks great, and they've been healthy. But I don't think they're going to pay up to keep Connolly. I think a team like Detroit is going to overpay for him, and someone's going to overpay for Kyle Anderson that's got free agency money. I'm looking at Orlando as an example. He seems like a great glue for that young team who's going to have free agency money as well, amongst other teams. Could be other teams. So that's my concern for Minnesota. Now, so if I'm Minnesota, do I do a cap clearing move? Naz Reid's guy that's already getting paid a lot. Gobert has been actually quite huge for them. I don't, you know, after they just traded for him, do you deal him? Towns is the guy that makes the most money. So, but you're not going to do that deal now. You're going to see how they do in the playoffs as well. And then I think you might do some moves on draft night to clear cap. Okay? If you look, Towns is the biggie. Right? And by the way, I would think about it. I know it sounds crazy. Like, you're going to deal your number one guy. Well, look, I actually don't know if he and Edwards is the best 1-2 punch. He's the best complement to Edwards. You got to build around Edwards, not around Town and Edwards. You got to build around Edwards. Towns is replaceable with Naz Reid there. Like, honestly, he is. And you can have this unique big front court. Okay? But you got to build around Edwards. So, look, it wouldn't shock me. I'll say that. It wouldn't shock me. Right? Let's just. And by the way, I'll just say this out loud. I'll say the quiet part out loud. I'm going to say a crazy comment right now. People are going to say it's crazy now, but you're going to hear whispers of a draft night pending on what Minnesota does in the playoffs. So let's play this out. All right? I'm going to say my crazy thought. If Minnesota, let's say, loses in the first round or something, okay? Which, by the way, they're going to play if they play the late. Look what happened to Memphis last year, you know? And I think they're allowed to lose in the first round, meaning, like, people are going to give them an out. It was the first year making a playoff run. They need experience, blah, 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 blah. They'll be back. People are still getting him. Like, If they're a 1, 2, or 3 seed, they're going to be a 1 or 2, I believe. Right now, it looks like the 1. And you play the Clippers, or the Clippers aren't going to be there. You play the Suns or the Lakers in the first round, which could be the matchup. Even Dallas, who's a little more veteran-y, right? But it's probably going to be, let's say, the Suns or the Lakers, and you lose. I think, look, if I'm Minnesota, I haven't been here in a while. I need to maintain this team for as long as possible. My goal is not necessarily to contend. My goal is consistent playoff contention. That doesn't mean a one round and out. I want to be like a second round with some chances at a deeper run, kind of like Portland, you know, 5 years ago. I know it's not the be all and all for teams, but if you haven't been in the playoffs for like a decade and a half, like Minnesota, and you reminisce the KG days, you know, in terms of revenue and sponsorships, you want to be a consistently good team. That's important. I think in order to do that, you need a clear cap. So if that scenario happens and they lose early, let's say, even if they don't lose early, and you want to, you know, just have cap flexibility, period, you're not going to be moving Gobert. You're not going to be moving Naz Reid. He looks great. You know, Naz Reid looks like he could start. And you see the drop-off between Towns and Naz Reid isn't so big. Right? I'm just going to play this whole thing out. You could retain Kyle Anderson, let's say Connolly. You know, even the Kyle Alexander Walker. If Detroit, the Detroit Pistons are going to have something like $64, $67 million in cap space, they could somewhat absorb Carl Anthony Towns. They'll probably give you back someone like Bogdanovich, maybe. Okay? They can play Towns at the four with Durin. They can do the same thing. They have their spacing finesse big. I'm going to call this right now. Where they trade their top three pick, maybe the number one pick, for Towns. And like Bogey. Okay? It's not so crazy. I'll play it out. That's my crazy ass, you know, again, does it happen? Probably not. Is it considered? I think it kind of makes sense. Now, if you're Minnesota, you're already building around Anthony Edwards. Can you get a guy in the draft? You know, Alexander Sarr could replace him. He's the guy people talked about. You have the kid from Colorado who's a wing. He could be a future wing. It's not so crazy to clear that cap. And now you have, and then you can get a couple of maybe, you know, veteran guys. You get Bogdanovich, let's say. It's not so crazy. It's a little crazy. It's a little crazy, but it's not so crazy. And if you're Detroit, you haven't been good for millennia. I got a chance now at Cade and Kat. I mean, I don't know. I think I take it. I think I do. And I got Durin. I got, and I can start doing my what I call starting unit fallacy. Yeah, my Durin, Towns. I got my power forward and Carl Anthony Towns. He could space. He could score down the stretch. And then I retest him, Kane, and I. By the way, what it would be is to me, I know it sounds like it's the same thing. It would be a Hail Mary move by Weaver, which he needs to do anyway, because his job is on the line, period, if they don't make a run. And then you try with that team. And they're like, hey, look, we got Carl Anthony Towns. To me, it's the Blake Griffin deal 2.0. I totally get it. When Stan Van Gundy was there, I get it. Is it that? Yes. Very similar. I'm throwing it out there. I don't think it's the craziest. I think Detroit is going to be enamored with it. I think they're going to be like, look, Cade's really good. We pair him with Towns. Let's see if this is something. I'm going to lose my job, basically. All right? Like, what's the other? They want to go for a home run move. I really feel that in my bones. That's my crazy prediction. Anyway, back to the task at hand. We have about a couple more minutes here. Trade deadline of the West. So Minnesota, is it going to do anything now? OKC, I don't think is going to do anything now. It's not smart for them to. Again, like the teams that can afford a first-round loss don't feel the pressure, because they're going to make the playoffs. They don't need to make a move to make the playoffs. They need to make a move. The teams that are going to make a move are going to make a move for a postseason run. So if you're Minnesota, right now, like, it would be nice to get a postseason run. It's not a need to. Maybe the next couple of years it is. If you're OKC, you don't need to. Let's just see what this unit does. Great. Yes, and then the offseason, you look at it. Giddy, yeah, you look at him. Minnesota, again, the town situation, you look at him. The other team, to me, is Sacramento, right? Sacramento, great. They had a great playoff run. This year was all about, can we further develop Keegan Murray? I noted it. And Jesus. It was all about Keegan. And look, they did, he's looked better. But again, Sacramento, I think, should have won that series last year with Golden State. These teams in the top five of the West, right? Again, you got to figure there's a good, you're going to play each other in the playoffs. So you can't make that an excuse. Like, oh, we played Phoenix. You're either probably going to play Phoenix, LA, right? One of the LA teams, Minnesota, OKC, Sacramento. They're all going to play each other, right? If you want to advance, someone's got to beat somebody. So who's going to be the team that makes the move? So Sacramento, to me, I wouldn't call them desperate, but I feel like you want to get beyond the first round. And you were the Minnesota of last year, okay? So Minnesota has that out this year. Sacramento does not have it this year, in my opinion. So Sacramento was clearly, there's a rotation they like. They're clearly now playing Herter a lot more. I think they're going to try to package him. By the way, Sacramento's a dark horse for LaVine. I'll say it right now, which could totally happen. Dark horse. They were interested in him 4 years ago when he was a free agent. And Chicago, you know, upped the offer a little bit. I could see them as a dark horse for LaVine. I think they're like, look, he's an upgrade over Herter. And they'll use Herter, Mitchell, maybe Barnes, which is an interesting concept. They'll use some package around that. That's their idea. So Sacramento could jump in. And then the team that's really lingering on this whole thing that has a crazy amount of assets. They have the most assets, I think, of any team I've ever seen in NBA history. I mean, maybe the Celtics with Ainge when he was there and they had all those picks. I mean, but the New Orleans Pelicans, they got future Laker picks. They got future Milwaukee Buck picks. Obviously, they're their own first. Okay. But then Trey Murphy, Herb Jones, Tyson Daniels, Jose Alvarado, Larry Nance Jr. I mean, there's just too many guys on that team. Najee Marshall, right? And the rookies look good. Jordan Hawkins. And E.J. Liddell, by the way, who hasn't gotten any time because they're just too deep. They're too deep. So the Pelicans need to consolidate. They need to at least put Zion Williamson in a position where he could lead them to a run before they decide further on. Okay? He already got the big, fat extension. But they are another team. Now, do they go overkill and get LaVine? That's crazy. Too much offense. They need, I don't think McCollum's nice. He's a two guard. They need a better point guard. I don't know what they do. But that's an underrated team to look at. And by the way, you know my answer is for them? Chris Paul. Sounds crazy. If I'm going state, let me get out of my misery. I'm Eitan Rosenberg. We'll see what